Chapter 6. Thank God. Let's begin, if you got the sixth chapter of Matthew, we'll begin reading verse 25, if that's okay. We'll read 25 and read a few verses here. Covet your prayers tonight, that we'll be able to say something that'll be a help to you tonight. I feel really obligated and responsible because you're going to face the devil, and maybe before you get out of here, and you need the word of the Lord to do that. The sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. That is your weapon. That's your defense. That's your offense, is the word of the Lord. Look at this. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life. Take no thought for your life. Now, what I just read to you was Jesus' words. I'm going to read the rest of this chapter probably to you. But I want you to notice how unorthodox, how out of the mainstream, out of the flow that Jesus was with popular thought of humans. In the human world, it's me first, and everybody else, wherever they fall in line. That's the way humans think. And that makes for a very dangerous, very perilous, very wicked world. When everybody does whatever is right in their own eyes, and whatever feels good, and whatever they think would prosper them, that makes for a very, very corrupt society. Jesus came with a different approach, different philosophy, different ideas. Amen. Unlike anybody had ever lived. He came to fulfill the law, not to destroy the law, but to fulfill the law. He came with an added degree to the law. The law said eye for an eye. Jesus said, but I say, if you hate your brother without a cause, you're a murderer. Amen. See, he came to fine tune, to bring things to the pure light. Amen. And he said, take no thought for your life. What you shall eat, or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. What you shall eat, what you shall drink, what you shall wear. Now, let me ask you something. Hello, y'all listening? If you quit thinking about what you're going to eat, drink, and wear, what would you be thinking about? But the Lord said, I don't want you to think on that. I don't want you to think about what you're going to eat and drink and wear. But I want you to... Is not the life more than meat? I'm going to take my time here, give you all time to rally up here with me. He said, is the life not more than meat? Now, you're going to get miserable, friend, when your life becomes meat. Jesus' disciples came to him and said, Lord, do you have any meat? And he said, I have a meat that you know not of. I got something, I'm feeding on something, I'm getting my pleasure, my purpose, my drive, my energy, my motivation is coming from something that you don't know about. You don't even see it. You're focusing on, you know, the now and now, and I'm interested in the by and by. And I'm going to tell you, the Bible said, if in this life only you have hope, you're of all men most miserable. Now, I'm getting ready to preach something to you here that'll help you if you listen now. I can't make you listen, but I can preach to you. And if you will listen, it'll help you. Praise God. The Lord said, now I want you to get this as I read down through it. It won't take me long, and I'm in a hurry, so I won't preach long, but I want you to get this. This will help you. I want to ask you something. You know, unhappiness and discontent is a dangerous thing. When you get dissatisfied, you'll go to looking for something else. And when you go to looking is when you get in trouble. Now listen here, but the place to take care of this is in your desires and in your want to. Huh? You know, we ought to be more interested in doing what we ought to do than what we want to do. Huh? You say, well, what we ought to do and what we want to do ought to be the same thing, but sometimes it's not. And sometimes you got to figure out what the will of the Lord is. What did Jesus say in the garden? He said, Lord, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. He said, I come to do the will of the Father. I want to ask you tonight, what is your life's purpose and goal? And so Jesus told these disciples, he said, take no thought for your life, what you're going to eat. This whole world is geared up, amen, in their life, what it's going to do to preserve them and to push them and promote them. The Lord said, I don't want you to think about that. I want to ask you how successful your marriage will be if you think about yourself all the time. What kind of church member will you be if all you do is think about yourself? Well, listen now. He said, now look at this. He says, is not the life more than meat and the body than raiment? There's more to life than meat and more to your body than just raiment. Behold the fowls of the air. Now he punched their attention. He said, I want you to look at the birds. Look at the fowl of the air. They don't sow. They don't reap. They don't gather. Yet, your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Y'all listening? Are y'all not, why take ye thought, listen, which of you, verse 27, which of you by taking thought can add one cubit to his stature? Now he said, now how many of you by taking thought can add a cubit? You say, I like to be 6 foot and you're 5'11". How many of you can add an inch by just worrying about it all the time? I like to be taller. I'm just going to keep, and wake up every morning, measure yourself. Huh? Well, boy, what kind of life would that be? Would that be frustrating or what? He said, it's just like you always worrying about what you're going to eat, what you're going to put on, and worrying about how you're going to survive. And he said, I want you to look at the birds. They don't plant a garden. They don't sow. They don't reap. But yet the Lord takes care of them. And you're much better than they are. That's what the Bible said. Can somebody say amen? You know, the Bible said, fret not. Fret not. The Bible said, be careful for nothing. But in all things with prayer and supplication and thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God that passes all understanding shall keep Now, I don't know if y'all getting this or not. I got a message over here I want to preach to you if the Lord will help me. He said, which of you by taking thought can add a cubit to the stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Why are you worried about your clothing? And he said, consider the lilies of the field. How they grow. They don't toil. They don't spin. How many knows what he's talking about when it says spin? That's been a few years back. That means go to Walmart. Y'all not even listening, are you? Well, it's not go to Walmart, but it's about in modern day go to Walmart. He said these flowers, these lilies of the field, they don't spin. That's weave and spin, you know, make cloth. They're not out there. But how many have seen a lily lately? Anybody seen any Easter lilies? Huh? You know, them Easter lilies don't work. But they sure are pretty, aren't they? What did you say them was? Daffodils there at the house? Is that what you said? Them yellow flowers? Well, they're pretty, aren't they? Walk up the lane to those hyacinths. But you know those hyacinths. Y'all not getting in. It's too simple for you. But I'm going to tell you, those hyacinths and those daffodils and those all them flowers, they don't work, toil or spin. But aren't they beautiful? Who made your clothes, Mr. Daffodil? Oh, I can just hear you young girls now coming up beside a lilac bush and said, where did you buy that? Huh? That's so lovely. Huh? Smell. Go by the rose bush. Oh, is that Estee Lauder? Huh? Y'all don't know what I'm talking about. You know who made those lilies clothes? Who? Y'all not sure, are you? Let's say it. All right. Hallelujah. Now you're not getting this yet. Let me read on. Maybe if I get to my text, it'll make more sense. And he said, I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these lilies. Solomon, richest man ever was on the face of the earth, and all them wonderful clothes he had on. I'm telling you, what's the truth? But yet he wasn't dressed up like one of these lilies. What's Jesus trying to say? Listen to this. He said, wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you? Oh, ye of little faith? Y'all enjoying me preaching to myself? Huh? Y'all watching the preacher get the preacher tonight? Huh? You know what he called him? Oh, ye of little faith. We get so preoccupied with survival, we forget about revival. Don't we? I know you say, well, brother, you're a big one to talk. I'm telling you, up there, that necktie on them mouse shoes, them are pretty nice. But I'm going to tell you something right now. Amen. God Almighty, you may hit rock bottom one of these days. Do you hear me? It's all tightened up. The economy, I don't know much about the economy. I know what's got in my pocket. That's about all I know. But I'm going to tell you this. Things could turn bad. Brother Tim's already told us about it tonight. I mentioned to him on the phone the other day, and I was studying on this when I mentioned to him, you need to hold on to the things that really matter. Come on now. Woo, I wish I could preach to you a little bit. You know, we don't have enough faith sometimes to trust the Lord for the things we need, and it preoccupies us in what we ought to be doing. It distracts us. Now listen to this. He said, therefore, because the birds don't feed themselves. God feeds the birds. You're worth more than birds. God clothes the flowers with their essence and beauty, and he'll take care of you. And he said, therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or where shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. Notice how he said that. For after these things the Gentiles seek. I'm going to tell you, you're getting ready to be a miserable person if all you're seeking and all you're getting is just to get food and raiment and clothes and prosperity. You're getting ready to be one of the saddest creatures that ever lived on the face of the earth. Have you not learned that yet? How many has ever learned the joy of giving away what you have? You ain't learned it yet. Praise God. I didn't get much response at all. Amen. But the Bible said it is more blessed to give than receive. Come on now. And I'm going to tell you, if you don't learn that, you're going to be just a miserable, dried up, narrow-minded, small-hearted person. That's right. Woo! Come on now. Boy, I'm preaching, ain't I? Hallelujah. That's out of the gospel. Amen. I got to get to my text. Notice what I said. Take no thought saying, what shall we eat or drink and so on. You say, well, but we need these things. Now, how many's already thought of that? Now, Brother Randy, you're talking about what would you do if you didn't have them shoes? What would you do, Brother Randy, if you didn't have food? Well, probably wouldn't do much for several days because got a little excess here, little winterized here, hung over. But I'm going to tell you, he says, but we need these things. How many of you young folks can say, but you know, it's natural for us to want these things. But I want you to notice what the Lord says next. He says, for your heavenly Father knows you have need of these things. You don't think he knows you need clothes? He made the first ones. Huh? You don't think our Father knows? Now look, my messages are just around the corner here, and I'm going to be done real quick, praise God. But I want to tell you something. When we get wrapped up in our survival, What did the Bible say? He said, if he that would find his life shall lose his life. And he that loseth, giveth up, surrenders his life. Oh, that's the problem. He that surrenders his life. Here I am, God, spend me. Be spent for God. Give yourself to God and say, spend me any way you want to, God. Spend me. Y'all ain't listening to me. Praise God. God, I'm yours. A lot of times we come to church and you know, we don't mind singing if we can get a little comment and a compliment out of, you know, a lot of times. But when you get a bunch, I appreciate our choir and the spirit I feel in them, Brother Tim, right now. Because you can tell they're not up here trying to impress you. They're up here trying to bless God and worship God. That's the kind of worship I like. Are you listening to me? That's why I don't run to hear these professional singers, because most of them are up there. They're not up there to glorify God because their lives don't measure up to it. Oh, you ain't helped me preach. But that's why I don't run and spend my money to hear them. Amen. Because they're not there to lift up God. They're there to hear that ching ching. Huh? They're there to fulfill that scripture. I met a stranger and took him in. Ching ching. Y'all ain't helping me preach. Praise God. But I'm going to tell you something. Amen. When you surrender your life. Oh, I wish y'all help me preach. I wish I could get to. How many of my kids are here tonight? 1, 2, 3, 4. I like to, if nobody else gets this, I like my kids to get it. I've been preaching this, Nathan, to y'all all my life. I've been living this before you with all of my life. You know it's true. Brother Isaac, today, I had a note stuck in the back a windshield wiper in my van when I got out. Call so-and-so. That's ASAP. And so I called them up. And you guessed it. They're out of money. And they know, they found the preacher. Couldn't get him to answer the phone, so they stuck it in his van window. Praise God. Hallelujah. So, praise the Lord. But I'm going to tell you what. I have found out, now you may not agree with that, it don't matter, but I have found out, I've gave myself in God's hand years ago, amen, and what I am and what I have, amen, belongs to the Lord. If we run across a poor folk, amen, that needs food, I feel like if we say, my, that's bad, and don't go buy him a double cheeseburger, they're 99 cents at McDonald's, then we ain't got much religion. And it don't matter if you agree with that or not, but that's what the Bible teaches. Praise God. Now, I'm going to tell you, we're too focused. I'm going to tell you young folks something. Look up at me now. I'm going to talk to you. I'm going to tell you young folks something. You ain't going to be worth a plug nickel till you get rid of that self-appreciation. Huh? If you always think you're the straw that stirs things, you're going to be in a heap of trouble and heartache. You going to listen to me? Come on now. Jesus was teaching them, you're always worried about tomorrow. And I'm telling you to give no thought for tomorrow. That's what the Bible said. If you believe that's what in the Bible, nod your head and say amen. It's right there. Now, I'm about ready to get to my text. Praise God. And I want you to get, this is the gospel. I don't want to preach nothing else but the gospel. And I'm telling you, we'll have revival among our kids, among our school, among our choir, among our young people, among our little kids, Brother Charlie. They don't need to get much older till they get in touch with the Holy Ghost. They got to have it, brother. And I want to tell you, we do not need to raise a bunch of spoiled youngins that only thinks of themselves. Praise God. Come on now. You say, well, brother, you teach them that by not letting them have. No. Now listen to me. I'm going to tell you something. You good to your kids. The Bible said that if a father, being evil, knows how to give good gifts to his kids, you give your kids. But you don't just give to them without a knowledge. You have freely been received, then freely give. You show. No, you don't just deprive them of things to teach them humility. No. That's not what the Bible teaches. God didn't do us like that. He freely gave us all things. And then he said, freely you have received, now freely give. Are you going to help me preach? And when our children receive that love and affection from their father, from their mother, from the church and those that love them, they're going to turn around and say, hey, then we teach them also, you freely have all things. You don't need to be stingy. You don't need to be greedy. You don't need to be envious because you got everything you need. You just need to give to somebody else and fulfill the word of the Lord. You talk about a church. Praise God, a bunch of people that believes this gospel right here. Can you say amen? Oh, I wish I could preach to you. You say, well, I know little kids that had everything, and they still want everything else. But the lesson has not been fulfilled yet. It's not been completed. Are you listening to me? Now listen, I'm about done. He says, man, I'm about to get to my text. Your Heavenly Father knows you have need of all these things. Now look, here, listen to me. You're thinking, now here you are. I want to teach you. These girls so nice to come on the front seat like this. I don't know how their parents get them to do this. I don't know, how'd y'all do that? But I'm going to tell you something. Here's the key. I want you to notice this. You know when Solomon, y'all remember him in the Bible, okay? When Solomon was gave the permission, ask whatsoever things you want. Do you remember that? He had a choice. He could ask for anything. Now here's the key. But it's got to be true and in your heart. And if you older folks, I mean, you know, like me, if you believe this is true, I want you to say amen and show these young people you believe it. But Solomon had a choice to ask for anything he wanted. Now this is in the beginning when God just called him out. He wasn't really overly rich. He hadn't, you know, he wasn't the Solomon as we know him. It was in the beginning. And here's what Solomon said. I want you to get this. Now, if he had hypocrited, God would have showed him. He'd have known it. But Solomon said this. He said, Lord, you made me king. I don't feel worthy. I don't feel worthy. Now that is the first attitude to be desired. I feel little. I don't feel worthy. But if you'll give me the desire of my heart. Now this is why he said, I'm going to give you the desire of your heart. I'm going to tell you, them desires is where it's all at. That's why it either makes you worldly or holy, dedicated or non-dedicated, is that desire. That's why I said in the beginning, hey man, if your desire's not right, hey man, then you're not happy with God in the church and spiritual things, then you're in a heap of trouble. And so he said, I just want you to give me wisdom that I might know how to lead your people. For I am as a child trying to lead this host of people. Now, here's what God said. Now, I want you to notice what triggered God. And I want you, young lady, I want young men, I want y'all to listen to me. Here is the attitude that triggered the blessing of God upon Solomon. Solomon humbled himself and said, Lord, of all the things I could have, new wardrobe, handsome husband, beautiful wife, cattle on a thousand hill, prosperity, popularity, riches, prestige in the world. He didn't ask for none of that, but he got all of that. Did you hear me? I said he didn't ask for none of that. Now, you can't be hypocritical. You can't say, I'm going to fake it and tell God I'm humble. I'm humble, God. Just give me the dirt. Knowing he's going to give me the castle. No, he knows when you're tricking. But if you honestly give up your life, give up your life, surrender your life to be able to do his will. He said, God knows you have need of these things. Huh? Can you say amen?
Amen.
God knows you have need of clothes and food and shelter. And after that, you don't need much of nothing else. A little gas in the vehicle. You really don't even need a gas guzzling 350. But they're nice when you hit the hills. Y'all just pray. I bought a 350. And the week I bought it, gas broke the record. Ain't that just like me? Why didn't I read the paper? Huh? But it does get 19 miles a gallon, Brother Charlie. That ain't bad, is it, on the highway? Hallelujah. And it'll go. I'm off track here. What was I preaching about? The next verse is my text. Listen to this. Seek. God knows you have need of these things. Don't seek these things because the Gentiles seek these things. If you spend your life, Brother Jeremy Morris, if you spend your life, Mark, for these material things, you're not going to live. That's not life. That's existence. Survival. But it's not revival. Now, what y'all quote it with me. One of my favorite verses in the whole Bible. Seek ye the first. What? The kingdom of and his. Yeah, I can't hear you. Start all over. Seek ye first. You ain't getting it. Y'all getting lost out on me there somewhere. You falling asleep on me somewhere in there. Is it in the Bible, Mark? What's it say? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And what did it say? What's the next verse? Come on, y'all ain't helping. I told you I was going to let you go early and y'all thought a while ago. I mean, a little bit ahead is what I'm thinking. What did it say? Where's your Bible? You didn't bring your Bible? Demerit. Huh? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and what? All of what thing? What thing? I thought you just preached against clothes and food and houses and tomorrow. No. God knows you need those things. He's going to provide those things. But we're not to seek those things. We're to be happy, praise God, we're to be happy with what God provides for us. Nobody said amen. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. His righteousness. Seek first. You know, our first desire ought to be, what is the kingdom of God? How many knows what the Bible said? The kingdom of God is not meat and drink. But it is love. I want to ask you something. Young ladies, again, let me ask you. Do you want a home that is full of meat and drink or love? Which would be a priority? What would come first? You know, I'm talking about first. You know, Solomon got it right. He didn't try to trick God. He just told him his heart. I want your wisdom first. I want to do things right. I want to lead and guide your people right. How many of you young folks, I'm going to get back on this again. So, you know, we got a lot of young unmarried people in here that's growing up that and I want to tell you, would you like to have a good companion that prays on the altar and responds in the spirit? Would you settle for anything less than that? You will if you don't get your priorities right. If all you're wanting, praise God, is shoes and hairdos and clothes and prestige and popularity, and then just find you any old husband and you do like that old boy I got on to one time, and I'm telling you, he was dating this girl. She was, whoa, wild. I'm telling you, I was like, wildcat. And I got after him. Me and Brother Roger Boyd cornered him, talked to him, trying to talk some sense into him. And he said, what's wrong with her? Why don't you like her? She hardly ever cusses and she's trying to quit smoking. I mean, and that wasn't all. But I'm going to tell you, if you're seeking and your desire is just to have somebody and a house and land and a car, and are you listening to me? You're going to be much disappointed. What should we seek first? What should be the first thing? The kingdom of God. Y'all ain't getting this. I knew when I preached this, I had a message probably nobody was going to listen to. But I got to preach it anyway. Got five more minutes. Seek first. We've got to put first things first. And when you seek, amen, a life, don't seek the material things in life. Seek the spiritual things. And all these things shall be added unto you. Say, I need a husband. You don't think God knows if you need one or not? I need a wife. You don't think God knows whether you need one or not? Huh? Seek ye first the kingdom of God, love and joy and peace. Our first priority ought to be that the kingdom of God go forth, that the gospel has gone forth and people preach. You know, you young people ought to be more interested, amen, and if God can use you in the ministry of the saints more than anything else in the whole wide world. Y'all listen to me. Sister Tree says, man is still here. Don't make a move. Do you hear from the preacher, honey? I'll just kid around these kids in a way. But I'm telling you, I remember one young man, I was up preaching years ago, and I got up preaching, and I said, if you're struggling over not, whether you ought to ask somebody out or not, I said, go ask your preacher if he thinks they're a quality individual. Mouth dropped open, tongue walled out. I'm not going to ask Brother Randy who I ought to go out with. Well, I didn't say who. I just said if I thought it was quality. But, you know, most people come, they wait till they've been in love with somebody for a year and they can't get loose. They say, oh, I know it may not be right, but I love them. I love them. I'm old enough now to know you can or you can't. Huh? Come on now. Y'all ain't helping me. But it's the truth. Love is an act of the W-I-L-L. It ain't like drinking some kind of potion and can't help myself. God gave you the ability to do what's right. Now you might get your emotions hooked up and think you're going to die, but try it. Huh? Just don't call them for 2 weeks and see if you break out in hives or if your hair falls out. And then 2 more weeks and you'll probably run across somebody you think's a lot better looking. And after a while you'll say, now what was their name again? Huh? Y'all ain't listening to me. Praise God. I'm not trying to make it seem like a shallow deal. I'm telling you that we ought to put first things first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Now, isn't it a lot better when you put God first, surrender to God, and then, Brother Joe, you get the benefits and the blessings. And you know you've done the right thing, and you've not put nothing before God. Huh? Oh, I'm afraid to do that. I'm afraid I'll have to break up with my boyfriend or my girlfriend, or I'm afraid I'll have to quit my job, or I'm afraid I won't get the job. You're not putting God first. Trust Him, praise God. I said you can trust the Lord. Come on, preacher. Preach a little more. I think I will. Amen. First things first. You know, in Proverbs, the Bible said, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of thine increase. Now, this is carnal here, and I hope you don't fall out with me. Some of you already have. Hope you don't get any worse. But there used to be this thing years ago, Brother Zane. You heard that now. These old Three Stooges, and when they was dividing up their money, they'd say one for you, one for me, one for you, two for me. Did you catch that? Something wasn't equitable there. Something wasn't fair. The goofballs. Huh? You got to watch. But you know, when God blesses you with substance, you know who gets the first? Who?
Who?
Well, my wife, you know, she... No. Who gets the first fruits? How many... You know, that's a word you never hear of in America, first fruits. Huh? What does that mean? Do you know what people's economy was in Bible days? Do you know what their money was? It was the fruit of the field. And you know what God, when he said, God demanded in Deuteronomy, he said to bring your first fruits. And I don't just mean the ground. I think it means your money. And I don't think that just means the tithing. I think that means more than your money. I think that means who you are. Every bit of you ought to be first God's. Who's got first say about your life? Seek ye first. I'm trying to preach. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and I'll guarantee you, you'll be like Solomon. We're glad to have you tonight. I want everybody to look at. I'm about to close, but I want to give you a guarantee. I will say back. I know you're. And I don't have that mean who you are. I'm walking back. If you put God first, who's sat your as a group? You know, you pay God first. Preach. Seek ye kingdom of righteousness. I'll guarantee you'll be like preach. I'm trying to. You think about a lot, buddy. Take your mind. Put in the water. Clear. But before you think about it, you think about it. But God in his. And I feel you like something. Seek ye. I'm trying to preach. I'm first. And the ground. A lot. I think. But I'm going to tell you, if I could tell you anything, Jeremy, tonight, if I could tell you anything, and I know your life's wide open ahead of you, I know you fret, I know you roll the bed, I know you're just confused at times, but I'm going to tell you how to clear up the water. And that's to put God first. And a lot of times when you're fretting and vexed, and you're unhappy, and you're just squirming, and you don't know, and you thought it was going to be this, I'm going to tell you right now, a husband or a wife or a friend or a job will not make you happy. It's not possible. You say, well, brother, I mean, if you're not devoted to God, you'll get unhappy in your little sweet marriage. You'll get unhappy that job or that money. You'll be wanting more money. You'll get you a nice fancy car, and you'll want something else, and you'll want something else, and something else, and something else, and something else. And after a while, you'll be buried in credit cards. You're going to have plastic surgery to get out of it. Huh? Ain't that right? But if you'll put God first, how many knows that a dinner of herbs is joy if you've got God in your life? That's what Proverbs said. How many's read that in the Bible? How many knows that young couples would be so much farther ahead and down the road if they realized, amen. And here's what would be so good, Brother Zane, if once in a while, listen to me, young couples, once in a while, amen, you'd get together and you'd look over there. And I'm going to tell you, you're going to have hardships. There ain't none of you born with a silver spoon. And it ain't a silver spoon. If you need to be born with a silver mind. Huh? But every now and then you ought to get together, especially in a hard time. I'm going to tell you why, how to help that man that you've got. When hard times come and you realize he's stressing, just take him by the hand, take a nice walk, look over at him and say, I love you if I don't have shoes to wear. And if you can't do that and mean it, you ain't prayed through. Because love is more than what you wear. You need someday, lady, you need to take that man by the hand. You need to look him in his eyes and you say, look, if we never go out and eat, I'll open beanie weenies here at the house and we'll hug each other and love and raise our kids and have a home if we don't even have a screen door on it. Y'all ain't getting this. You're sitting on me and I know you are and you just watch. You just go on and you're going to have trouble down the road. I'm telling you. And I'm going to tell you something else, man. Amen. Go in there, and I tell you, Sister Wimble was up the other day telling these young men to help their wives and stuff, and I thought, boy, she knows what she's talking about. And I'm, oh, Ed, man, you fit right into my sermon right now, son. Hallelujah. Huh? I'm going to tell you something. Praise God. You come home, and so what? The young'uns are squalling, and the laundry's sitting out in the hall. Praise God. Come on now. Amen. And the supper ain't ready, and you come in want to know where your beans are. I want to know where your brains are. Y'all ain't listening. I'm going to tell you, you need to take that little old woman by the hand and set her down and say, honey, let me tell you something. I'm wore out and tired, and I'm hurting in my back, but I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I got an extra $10 here. I'm going to run over and buy something to eat, and don't want you cooking no more today. I want you to sit down right here. You're going to be the queen for the rest of the evening. I want you to sit right down here. Matter of fact, I'll tell you something else. I'm going to cook you a hamburger, and then she'll faint. You dial 911, and Rita will send somebody up there to wake her up. Huh? What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying that a home is not meat and drink.